As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake Doctor's Orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Analysis and opinion so honest, it's just a matter of time before they get themselves in trouble. Baseball Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Well, that was a fun August, wasn't it? I mean, it would have been nice if the Jays had ended August with a win last night, but you can't win all the time.
Huh? You can't?
Can't. Jays finished August 21-6. That's the highest winning percentage for a month in club history. 21 wins are tied for second most in franchise history. Cleveland Indians 4-2 winners over the Blue Jays. The Indians don't look now are making a little bit of noise in the wild card race. I think they're about four games back. You know, I could look at the standings that were provided to me. They are four games back of the Texas Rangers. The second wild card, the Tribe have won six games in a row. Kind of an interesting game last night. A couple of defensive miscues on the part of the Blue Jays. Well, I guess we could call Ryan Goins. It was an aggressive play by a second baseman who 9 times out of 10 makes the play. So,
yeah.
By the way, Ryan Goins is going to join us on the show.
Nice.
We'll talk a little bit about his pretty terrific August in his own right. If you look at his on-base percentage, it's one of the top in the majors. And I'm talking about he's in with guys like Encarnacion and Joey Votto and Andrew McCutchen. We're talking some serious serious players. So Ryan Goins will join us. But Kevin, your takeaway from that game last night, Danny Salazar came as advertised. He's a good pitcher. That might be, well, I was trying to think back. There have been, Ivan Nova did a pretty nice job against the Jays. Masahiro Tanaka did a pretty nice job. This was really good last night, though, considering the atmosphere, considering the role the Jays are in. He pitched really well. What did he do last night that other teams haven't done to the Jays?
Well, I think he's a power guy. He throws 96 to 97 with the fastball. He moves it around both sides of the plate. He throws a cutter on occasion. He throws a split finger, which you have to throw hard for that split finger to be effective. And he got ahead. That's, you know, it's a real simple game, and he's really talented. All of those things add up to what we saw last night. That's, you know, good pitching always beats good hitting. And sometimes you have to take your hats off to the opposing pitcher. And last night was one of those things. He just kept a really good hitting team off balance all night by mixing up pitches. And he would throw later in the game, he would throw first pitch sliders and first pitch change ups. That's, you know, that's what the game's all about, adjustments. And the guy or the team that make those more than anybody else, that's the team that won. And last night, the Cleveland Indians did a better job of that than the Blue Jays did.
You know, the point was made during by Joe Siddle that it's hard to remember the last time we saw a Jays game where so many players took so many, I'm not going to say bad swings, but missed by as much as they missed against Danny Salazar. Even that Yankees series, it was, you know, the swings and misses weren't as bad.
Well,
as
I
they
think
were
that's what
Salazar.
We're saying. Well, you know, we mentioned that earlier with the Blue Jays in the bullpen. You see Sanchez and Osuna coming out. You see some weird swings being taken because, you know, guys have to cheat a little bit to get the head out on the fastball. And when you do that, you can throw off speed pitches and make guys look a little bit silly because of that fact. And again, I take it off. Yeah, on occasion, you're going to run into a really good pitcher that just has everything working and can throw three or four different pitches in any count. Last night, Danny Salazar did that. And again, I'm not sure we're going to see that all the time because this Blue Jays team is a really, really good hitting team, and they make a lot of adjustments. We even saw last night about the third time or the second and third time through the lineup, they were taking more pitches, which they normally don't do because of that fact, because he was mixing it up, throwing first pitch curveballs. And, you know, they were trying to make adjustments along with Danny, and it's very hard to do that. It's very hard when it's a power pitcher because of that fact, because 96-97 is no joke, and you have to always be looking for that. And then he adds the split finger that looks just like the fastball, but it's 6 or 7 mile an hour difference. That's a really tough combination.
It's Baseball Central with Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker. Ryan Goins will join us later on in the show. The Blue Jays, a game and a half up in the Yankees. The Yankees really spit out the bit last night. 4-3 losers to the Boston Red Sox. And the Yankees were 4-for-14 with runners in scoring position. They finished the game with the bags full, I believe. They finished the game.
They sure did.
And, you know, I don't know if there's a one way to lose is better than the other way, but at least the Blue Jays can go home last night thinking, well, we kind of had it shoved up our you-know-whats by a pretty good pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
Wanted to ask you about David Price. I thought Greg Zahn made an interesting point after the game talking about that at-bat with Ryan Rayburn, one of the key at-bats in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Doubled to deep right, and call him Carlos Santana. Carlos Santana is his name, but I was thinking of the singer.
Right.
Carlos Santana scores. Rayburn went to third on the throw.
Mm-hmm.
And Greg was making the point, and I thought it was kind of interesting. And it wasn't really a shot at David Price, but it was, you know, Ryan Rayburn's a guy who's had a certain amount of success against David mm-hmm. Price. I think it was 9-for-27, something like that.
Yeah.
And it was about kind of, you know, not knowing who you're pitching to, but maybe treating Ryan Rayburn with a little more respect. How do you feel like that? I mean, I didn't think it was the first pitch, and mm-hmm. he hit it hard. I don't know. Did you have much of an issue with the pitch that David Price threw?
Santana was on first base,
Santana
right?
Santana yeah, wasn't first.
You know, it'd be real tough to pitch around Rayburn, and it's really hard to go against your number one guy that's been there and done it and knows how to do it and get big outs in big key situations. He's going with his best pitch, David Price is, and that's his, you know, he was sitting at about 96 to 97 in those last couple of innings because, you know, he was running out of steam. He knew he had the lead. He was trying to put guys away early in counts. That's what a true number one does. And you know, again, it gets back to you just have to, on occasion, take your hats off to the opposing team. They did a better job in big spots than David Price and the Toronto Blue Jays, and it's going to happen. That's just, you know, that's part of it. I just have a real tough time asking a number one guy to pitch around anybody. That's going to be real tough for a Pete Walker to walk out and be like, hey, you might want to be a little careful here. It's hard. How would you sell that to your number one guy? You want your number one guy being super overly aggressive, going after people and saying, if you beat me, it's because you beat me, not any other reason.
And I would think, too, Kevin, that I mean, I'm sure David Price is well aware that Ryan Rayburn has given him trouble in the past.
Sure.
But it was an interesting observation because I did kind of think of it. And when he came up, I thought, because I was watching the game, I was home by then, I was watching the game, I think this guy's got pretty good numbers against Price.
I think the pitch was down and in, maybe. It was not a bad pitch. It was a better pitch by Ryan Rayburn. It was a better swing.
And that's a sign. You know that a guy is comfortable hitting against you when he's handling a pitch like that.
I don't remember it being a bad pitch. So, you know, it's food for thought for everybody, I think.
The Blue Jays, by the way, have just sent out a release. The expanded September rosters, of course, it is September 1st. The Blue Jays have recalled Aaron Loop, Dalton Pompey, Ryan Tepera. They've selected the contract of left-hander Jeff Francis to make room in the 40-man roster for Francis. Cold Hines has been designated for assignment, and yes, as if you need another reason to go to the ballpark, they brought up the mascot, Munenori Kawasaki, will be stretching and smiling and getting his face on camera.
Him.
And it'll be just so much fun. Can't wait to see Mooney, first guy out of the dugout.
Hey, he's a defensive guy.
Going to be great.
Say what you want. He doesn't make a lot
first
of errors. He makes
dugout.
Every routine play. It's
first guy to the dugout when he hasn't played the entire series. Awesome. I love that. Anyhow, Munenori Kawasaki will be up. Really no surprises among the call-ups. Maybe, Matt Haig, they're still, the AAA team is still playing. Jeff Francis, I think, fills that role. We know the Jays have been looking for another lefty for the bullpen. Jeff Francis has done it. He's proven that he can do it. And
Dalton Pompey may be a little interesting, I think, too.
Well, Dalton Pompey gives them a little bit of an option off the bench. He actually gives them a pretty good option off the bench, a switch hitter. He had a good year at AAA. And I will say this for Dalton Pompey. Much as Kevin Pillar kept his yap shut when he was sent down last year and put his nose to the grindstone and just worked and was quiet and got back in the organization's good graces after that incident in the dugout, Dalton Pompey went down. I think there was some initial, you know, dissatisfaction on his part, but he went down and basically shut it and worked on what he needed to work on. He finished the year. I believe he hit like 285 at AAA. I know he was really hot at AA as well. So there you go. Those are your September call-ups. Munenori Kawasaki, Aaron Loop, Dalton Pompey, Ryan Tepera, Jeff Francis, Cold Hines has been designated for assignment by the Blue Jays. And it'll be interesting to see what role Aaron Loop assumes now that he's back up here. That's a lot of options for John Gibbons in that bullpen all of a sudden.
Yeah, well, they have a complete team. That's what I said. We smirked a little bit yesterday whenever I said that they're going to lose 10 games the rest of the season. That may be a stretch, but this team is good enough to do that. They have a lot of pieces everywhere, and they do a lot of good things. That's what makes a great team, is everything is good. And the Blue Jays, you can't argue with that.
The Jays ended the game, by the way, with Josh Donaldson striking out, moment of drama against Cody Allen, who's pretty good job for the Indians. The play on Donaldson's throwing error in the ninth inning, how did you see that? How did you see
that play? I don't have any trouble with that. Josh Donaldson is a very aggressive player. You never want to take that away from him. He's trying to make outs. He's trying to get outs for his team. He's going to do whatever it takes. And, you know, he blocked a ball on the play in the hole between short and third, and he ran after it, and then he was sort of in a hurry and hurried to throw and overthrew the pitcher. It's LaTroy Hawkins. That's just part of baseball. It's how do you have an issue with a guy trying too hard?
We've seen so many errors of omission by guys on this team that errors of commission are kind of a little different. And a good throw gets him.
Yeah.
I think a good throw gets
him. Yeah. If you're John Gibbons, there's no way you can be disappointed the way his team's playing. They're trying to get outs whenever they can get them, and that's a playoff team. You can say it any way you want to, and again, it gets back to in the eighth inning, they had the bases loaded with two outs. In the ninth inning, they had first and second with the MVP candidate up with two outs. Yeah. You take your chances every day like that, every day.
It's Baseball Central with Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker. Jays and Indians tonight. Second game of that three-game series goes at the Rogers Center. First pitch at 7 o'clock on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, Sportsnet East, Ontario, West, and Pacific. We talked about David Price. We talked about a little bit about Danny Salazar. I want to talk about a guy, Kevin. You've mentioned him a couple of times, and I know you wanted to talk about him last week. We didn't get around to it. But Brett Cecil, very quietly putting together a good run.
Well, you just mentioned Dalton Pompey going down and keeping his yap shut and just going down and getting the job done and coming back to the big leagues. Well, Brett Cecil's the same way. He's had numerous chances to sort of fold in the tent and not work hard and not keep his mouth shut. And because he's went from the closer being the closer, not the closer anymore, to going and pitching in the fifth and sixth inning all of a sudden. You know, that's a lot to take during the season. He's handled that very well. He's made great adjustments. I talked to Pete Walker numerous times, and he says he's very impressed. He's a professional. Brett Cecil is a professional. He goes about his job every day. And, again, it gets back to being – Alex Anthopoulos has done a heck of a job assembling this team and making guys like this a part of their clubhouse, a part of their team. All these things matter because it shows. It shows younger guys adversity throughout a season. Just deal with it. Go about your job. Figure it out. Throw strikes. Get guys out in early in counts. You do that, you're going to be in the big leagues a long time because of the breaking ball. He's one of those guys that throws fastballs to get to breaking balls. And, you know, because the breaking ball is that good, it says a lot to who he is.
Impressive. In August, the just concluded month, opponents were 4-for-25 against him, gave up a double, struck out 7, walked none. That's an opponent's batting average of 160, obviously an OBP of 160. His whip for the month, walks, hits, innings pitched, was 0.545. This coming off a 0.724 July when he appeared. He had 35 batters face him. In other words, he's been really
well,
good.
Well, he has.
The past
I think
months.
Early in the season, if you remember, he used to fall off really bad at the third base side. He doesn't do that anymore. That allows him to throw a lot of strikes down and away and throw the breaking ball for strikes. That's, you know, when you're ahead in the count all the time, then you don't have to throw your best pitch for strikes all the time. You start getting guys to chase because you get guys swing happy. It's all about making adjustments, and all, you know, it makes a lot of sense when you throw towards your target and not off to a side as bad as he did the beginning of the season. You know, again, it says a lot to Pete Walker, the pitching coach. It says a lot to these guys buying in and saying it's not working. We need to fix it and fix it in a hurry to make this team better and get to where we want to ultimately be. It's 1 through 25. I keep saying that, and, you know, it's funny. I even laughed when I said it was they're going to lose 10 games. Obviously, it's probably not – you can't guess that number. But if they did only lose 10 games, it would not surprise me.
I should mention, by the way, I want to throw this out. Dan Morris on Twitter does point out that what Greg Zahn was also saying was that the next guy, Yan Gomes, is 0-for-14 lifetime against Price. So maybe that
– Well, yeah, I'm sure that there's –
You do factor that into it.
Yeah, you do, but again,
I still kind of get your point. It's Ryan Rayburn.
And again, it's maybe the best, arguably one of the best, if not the best pitcher in baseball. I get the point that the next guy on deck's 0-for-14, but when you're worried about the guy on deck, you usually don't make good pitches to the guy at the plate. So, you know, there's I guess you can make an argument both ways. I have no issues whatsoever. My number one guy that I brought here to do exactly what he's been doing, to throw a lot of strikes to everybody. And on occasion, the guy just gets beat. That's the part of baseball. That's the way it is.
We're going to be joined by Ryan Goins in a few minutes. We talked a little bit about this. You were actually the first one to point out the fact that he basically, they just put his bat in his shoulder, quietened him down.
Yeah.
And I mentioned on Sportsnet.ca yesterday that Eric Owens and Brooke Jacoby, the way they sold it to him was, look, you're a bench guy, you're a utility guy. If you want to have success filling this role, you've got to keep it as simple as possible. And that means try to cut down the amount of extra movement, the amount of noise in your swing when you're at the plate. You want something you can maintain. You want something that you can take into the game and be effective with it. And look, I mean, he's never going to be a great offensive player, but he doesn't have to be a great offensive player. He just has to be a contributor. He has to help turn the lineup over, which is what he's doing. What are you seeing from Ryan Goins?
Well, Brooke Jacoby always had a saying, and I've said this before, get your foot down, get it singing. Well, the way you do that is you're nice and easy, you're comfortable. That's the most important thing. And Greg Zahn always makes the point is you simplify it coming off the bench, you look fastball, nothing else. And Ryan Goins right now is doing that. And when he's getting a strike, a fastball strike, he's not missing it. And that's the biggest thing. And it all comes back to the point of they laid that bat on his shoulder. It's nice and easy. It's fluid. His bat's quick. He can feel the buggy whip. It's not the sawdust kind of thing where you can see the knuckles. All of these things add up to a good approach to the plate. And he's swinging at strikes. That's the simple, easy way of doing it. And you got to, again, it gets back to giving guys credit. We don't do that enough. We always, on occasion, want to say the negative things. But in-season adjustments, I will attest to this, is the hardest thing to do in baseball because you work so hard in the offseason on one thing, and then you get in-season. That doesn't work, and you have to change it. It's very hard to do that. You have to give all these guys credit. They make changes.
Got to mention, by the way, that Edwin Encarnacion and Josh Donaldson, a little bit of history made in the month of August. Now, we know that RBIs have been kind of devalued as a statistic given the weight now placed on sabermetrics, but this is pretty significant. I think Encarnacion and Josh Donaldson, the first teammates with at least 35 RBIs in the month of August since Ted Williams and Bobby Doerr did it for the Boston Red Sox in 1950. I mean, it's one of those things. Anytime you can throw a guy's name in the same line along with Ted Williams, it's pretty good. Edwin has extended his hit streak to 26 games. Kevin, when you were playing and you were on a streak, you talked the other day about how you just feel comfortable. It's like you can walk up to the plate and you're ready to go and you can hit anything. But what's the hardest thing about maintaining a streak?
I think it's not overswinging, not trying to do too much, because obviously when you feel really, really, really good, you want to go up and swing at everything. Well, you have to sort of tone it back and say, I'm going to zone it up. When I get my pitch, I'm not going to miss it. And that's, you know, that's what you're seeing from Edwin and Josh Donaldson, is they, when they get the pitch, they don't miss it now. Mm-hmm. And I saw last night, even when Josh Donaldson struck out in the ninth inning with first and second, he's very, very, very aggressive with guys on base, because the old saying is usually the best pitch to hit with guys on base is the first one, because pitchers want to get ahead. And you see Josh Donaldson more times than not with guys on base, he is very, very aggressive and swings the first pitch. So, you know, I've never been this hot. This is this is crazy hot, but it's again, it's that's the hardest thing, is not going up and swinging at every pitch. Go up and still have that same approach. Think one pitch, which is normally a fastball, because, you know, most people can't make a living off of hitting breaking balls. It's the fastball. Hunt the fastball. When you get it, don't miss it, and that's what they're doing.
Let's take a look around Major League Baseball last night before we take the break. We've already told you the Yankees lost to the Red Sox 4-3, left the bases loaded in that game. The Mets, boy, they continue to pull away from the Washington Nationals. The Mets beat the Phillies 3-1. The Mets finished August with 20 wins, the first time they've had 20 wins in any month since August 2000. They set a club record for home runs in a month with 45, and they set a 44-year-old franchise record with their 10th straight win against the Phillies. Bartolo Colon was on the mound for the Mets. The same time, St. Louis was beating the Washington on to hell in a handbasket. All eight Cardinals position players reached base. Ryan Zimmerman finished a triple shy of the cycle, if you're looking for positives for the Washington Nationals. But the Cardinals have now beaten the Nationals 8 consecutive times at home. And the Cardinals are 47-19 at Busch Stadium, which is pretty much the definition of home field advantage. Wow. Another game, and this is a big one, and we'll have the second game of this series tonight on Sportsnet, and it's a terrific pitching matchup, Madison Bumgarner against Zach Greinke. Last night, the Dodgers beat the Giants 5-4 in 14 innings, and it was just the fourth win in 13 games against the Giants this season for the Dodgers. The Dodgers maintaining or expanding their lead in the Giants in the West. And there you go. That'll get you set. We should mention, too, by the way, that the Houston Astros' Dallas Keuchel became the first 16-game winner in the American League. He's unbeaten at home. Houston beat Seattle 8-3. This is pretty remarkable. Keuchel extended his club record. He threw at least 6 innings in his 38th consecutive start. He did give up a home run in the second inning to Mark Trumbo, which was the first home run he has given up at Minute Maid Park dating back to August 10th, 2014. In that ballpark.
Man.
That is amazing.
That is awesome.
Jose Altuve finished August with 45 hits. That tied a franchise record for hits in the month set by Jesus Alou in 1970. Jose Altuve reached base in all 28 games he played in August. That's the second longest active streak in the majors. So there you go. The Houston Astros aren't going away, to say the least. The Houston Astros have a 4-game lead over the Rangers in the American League West. Kansas City, they're done and dusted. They've got a 13-game lead over the Twins. They're just trying to stay healthy and interested until October. As we said, the Blue Jays a game and a half up. In the National League, the National League Central, the Cards 5 up on the Pirates, 10.5 up on the Cubs. The National League is basically, well, the Mets are 6.5 up in the Nationals. The Nationals aren't going to catch the Mets. They're not going to get the wild card. Really, the interesting battle right now is in the wild card, the Cubs and Pirates. And the Pirates are 5.5 up on the Cubs. Mm-hmm. The Giants, they're 4.5 back of the Dodgers, so they've got kind of an outside. They've got kind of an outside shot there. But it looks as if, Kevin, for the most part, looks like the National League's basically done.
Yeah, well, the Cardinals.
Yeah,
they're
not. I will be stunned if the Cardinals aren't in the World Series. I'll just be absolutely stunned. I mean, I can't see anybody in the National League capable of knocking them off.
What do they do bad? That would be my question. They're one of the best pitching teams in baseball. They They do a great job with two outs and guys in scoring position, which is the biggest key. And they play great defense.
Mm-hmm.
And they have the best, one of the best catchers in baseball.
Yeah.
That's tough.
It is a, they are a tough team to beat.
Sounds familiar, doesn't it?
It does. They're 8-2 in their last 10. So, I mean, this is, and I guess this is the thing that kind of impresses me about both them and the Royals. And the Royals are 45-21 at home. The Royals basically have nothing to play for the most part. I guess home field advantage. But, I mean, they're 7-3 in their last 10. It's not like these guys are coasting. And, you know, you look at the Royals, they're being pressed. The Twins are 8-2. The Indians are 8-2. I mean, teams are winning in that division. It's just that they can't make hay.
Pitching and defense this time of the season wins most of the time.
And in the American League East, we haven't really looked at standings for a while. That's why I wanted to do it today. The American League East, the Rays are 9 back of the Jays. The Orioles, 11 back. The Jays face the Orioles this weekend. You can stick a fork in the Orioles after this weekend if the Jays want to. The Red Sox are 13 back and actually playing a little better than recently. But, yeah, there you go. The Royals, the Twins, the Indians.
What do you think happens to the Nationals?
What happened?
Yeah, at the end of the season, you'd have to think they clean house.
Oh, I think they clean house. I mean, I wrote in Sportsnet.ca. I'll tell you what, I don't care what Terry Francona says right now. I would be willing to bet that he'll exercise his opt-out clause and the Washington Nationals will call him. Perfect situation for Francona. It's a veteran team. Some young guys in it as well. He's a great manager for a team that is underachieved, full of veterans, guys that need to know how to win. I think he would be a terrific addition to that team. They've got to get rid of Matt Williams because Matt Williams has just turned into a disaster. And I understand they're hurt, and I will be the first to admit that, like a lot of people, I probably underestimated the importance of Denard Span to that team. But I'm sorry. There is no way the Washington Nationals should be 66-64.
No.
Not with that pitching.
No.
There is just no way that happens. And I think I'm not a fan, Kevin, of just always blaming it on the manager. This may be one of those cases, though, because there's been tension between him and Bryce Harper for the past couple of years. And I just, you know, knowing what people said about Matt Williams when he was in the Diamondbacks organization, there are a lot of people who looked at that hiring as being odd. They thought it was one of those cases where you kind of go with a sexy name. Mm-hmm. Matt Williams is a sexy name. But, they've got a clean house there.
Well, you look on paper.
And it'd be a great situation to come into. If you're a manager, a general manager, my God, that would be a great situation to come into.
You definitely have the pitching, but I think that's one of those cases you look off the field in the clubhouse. Maybe there's, you know, that gets back to the manager. I don't know really how much the manager has to do with that.
Mm-hmm.
But there has to be something going on because like you said, the starting five's off the charts. Their defense is pretty good, and they should be scoring more runs, and it's just not working out.
Ryan Goins of the Toronto Blue Jays, things have certainly been working out for him. He's had a very good August, a quietly good August. We're not just talking about in the field. We're talking about the plate as well. Ryan Goins will join us when Baseball Central continues on the Sportsnet Radio and Television Network.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Now, back to more Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Welcome back to Baseball Central with Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker ahead of tonight's second game of that series between the Cleveland Indians and the Toronto Blue Jays. Indians 4-2 winners over the Blue Jays last night. Danny Salazar, one of the best pitching performances we've seen against the Jays in a long, long time. And, people always say there are some times where you just, as good as a team is, you just kind of look at the opposing pitcher and go, hey, he attacked us pretty well. And you give him credit. And I honestly believe that was one of those games. We're going to get to Ryan Goins in a second. Just want to mention the Jays have called up five players, Munenori Kawasaki, Aaron Loop, Dalton Pompey, Ryan Tepera and left-handed pitcher Jeff Francis to make room in the 40-man roster for Francis. Colt Hines, a left-handed pitcher, has been designated for assignment. So again, Munenori Kawasaki, Aaron Loop, Dalton Pompey, Ryan Tepera, and Jeff Francis all joining the Blue Jays as September call-ups. Munenori Kawasaki and Dalton Pompey giving manager John Gibbons a few more, well, to be specific, two more options off the bench going into tonight's game against the Cleveland Indians. Did a little item on sportsnet.ca yesterday about Ryan Goins. And I mean, you all know the offensive numbers this month, and you all know the numbers that Edwin's been putting up and Josh Donaldson's been putting up. And you know, we know the team offense in general this month has just been, has been off the charts. In some ways, it's been historic. But I think we also need to send some kudos the way of Ryan Goins, who very quietly this month put together, I'm going to say it was a very efficient offensive month in terms of getting on base, in terms of making contact. I mean, he drew almost as many walks this month as he had. Well, he had 20. He drew 12. He's had 12 walks in the past 28 days. He had 29 coming into that. I'm sorry, he had 15 coming into that. He's become a useful offensive player. He's become a guy who's more than carrying his own on a very good offensive lineup. And one of the crucial things. Look, we all know the defense. The defense has been there with Ryan Goins since he came out of the womb, frankly. We know that. But one of the key things he's done is he's managed to contribute at the bottom of the order, help turn the lineup over to get the big boys to the plate more often. It's been a real good month for Ryan Goins, and we're very pleased to be joined on Baseball Central by the aforementioned Ryan Goins. Ryan, thanks so much for doing this today.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
So I talked to you after Sunday's game. We talked about Kevin Barker had pointed out, I want to say like a couple of weeks ago, that he noticed that you were now resting your bat and your shoulder, and it seemed to give the ball a little chance to travel farther. I know you said it helps you not get beaten by velocity anymore. Can you just talk about how that change came about? Because I think a lot of times, Ryan, baseball fans are going to go, well, come on, if that's just it, why didn't the kid figure it out 2 years ago, you know?
I don't know. I wasn't playing every day back in, July? I didn't play for a while. We just kind of went to the cage and thought about stuff that would make my swing as simple as possible and have as little maintenance as possible, you know? So that was what we came up with, and you know, it was weird at first just because I always hit with my hands really high and until last year. So it was weird at first, but, you know, I said I'm going to stick with it and I'm going to try it because it felt good. And, you know, the results have been pretty good playing every day now.
Ryan, what's the approach against left-handers? I know when I was in the big leagues, when you're left-handed and you don't play every day, you have to earn the right to face left-handers. John Gibbons obviously has a lot of confidence in you. You're hitting against lefties late in games. What's been the approach against those guys late in games?
You know what? I think I'm just going up there every at bat. I mean, left-handed, right-handed, I'm just trying to go up there and get strikes and put good swings on strikes. So, you know, I don't think it really changes. Just trying to get a strike and not chase pitches out of the zone.
And is that when you look at this lineup, Ryan, to find yourself involved in an offense that's, frankly, almost now people are starting to look at this offense as being historically good. Does that kind of cause you to focus a little more on what you're doing at the plate, or in some ways does it allow you to relax because you really do only have to worry about having the best at bat you possibly can?
Yeah, I don't think anybody's really worried about the numbers that we're putting up and compare it to them historically. I mean, I think the more you think about that, the less likely you are to produce. So I think everybody just comes here every day with a free mind and just taking every day as a new day and just going out there and competing and trying to have the best at bat. Not only me, but I think, you know, the other eight guys in the lineup are doing the same thing as well.
what's it like playing next to Troy Tulowitzki? I mean, this has got to be – I talked to a couple of scouts, and they were talking about this is this middle infield covers more ground than any other middle infield in baseball, than any other keystone combination. What's it like playing next to him? And have you had to tailor your game at all to some of the things – to some of the things that Troy will do?
No, honestly, I'd be lying if I said we went out there and worked together. We didn't. We just literally, he went out there one day and I went out there during the game, and we never went out to ground balls early together. We just went out and started playing together. That's how it happened. You know, he's a gamer. He's a true pro. He goes out there every day and does what he does. So I think there's a reason why he's one of the best shortstops in the game.
Ryan, you're obviously a great infielder. Tell me which one you'd rather do. Would you rather hit a home run, or would you rather make a great defensive play?
I'd rather make a great defensive play and then go hit a home run.
Great. That's awesome.
Great answer. that's a very good answer in conversation with Ryan Goins on Baseball Central. The month you're coming off, you're sixth in the majors in on-base percentage behind guys like Joey Votto, Edwin, Andrew McCutchen, Brantley, Bryce Harper. You're ahead of Zobrist, Ortiz, Beltran. Those are some big names there. Just the fact that you're getting on base, that it looks like you're being a little more selective, that it looks like you're having a better time identifying pitches. Is that really what it's come down to? Because, you know, the base and balls, I mean, frankly, Ryan, that's given this lineup and given who's you know, in the on deck circle or who's in the hole behind the guy in the on-deck circle, if you draw a walk, that's often as good as a single in this lineup.
Yeah, I mean, I think it just goes with, like I said, just being simple. You know, there's not a lot going on anymore like there used to be, and I think that's just, you know, showing up every day. So I just come to the park every day with a clear mindset and just take every at-bat and go up there and try to be productive and help the team.
Hey, Ryan, you hear guys say they'll go, obviously they'll go in a role defense, offensively. Guys will go on a hitting streak, things of that nature. Can players go on a defensive streak as well?
I don't know. I think there's times where, yeah, we're in guys' heads. But, you know, I try to make every play and not let one thing affect me to the next, you know what I mean? So just clearing my head after every play and trying to be ready.
Well, we saw that last night in that scoop play you made at first base. It's funny. People always talk about how closers need to have a short memory, but you also got to have a short memory if you're a pretty good defensive player too, don't you? Because a lot of times when a guy who has a reputation for being a good defensive player either makes a mistake or the play just doesn't work out, I mean, people automatically focus on that because they're not used to seeing it. And you've got to have that short memory, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, I had one last night in the first inning with after Kipnis hit the double, the next guy hit a pretty hard ground ball to me, and I tried to make the aggressive play and go to third, and didn't really make it to third. A short hop Donaldson. And the next ball is right at me for double play. So, I mean, you know, it's that mindset of just after the play is over, you clear your head and you come back and get them again.
All right, let me ask you, whenever we watch this team play on an everyday basis, it looks like every 1 through 25 is just bought into winning. It doesn't matter how you do it. If you're a young guy, if you're an established guy, if you make this amount of money, it doesn't matter. And me being an ex-player, I always said that's very hard to do because younger guys are trying to establish themselves and stats matter. You can face it. You can say it any way you want to. That's what matters. But on this team, it just seems to be different. How has the mentality of that started? Because, again, I just find it hard to believe that an entire team all wants to do the exact same thing and do nothing but win. Is that just the way it is in that clubhouse?
You know, on that note, I think you need to give a lot of credit to the veteran guys on this team. You know, Bautista, Encarnacion, Tulo, Donaldson, you know, bringing in LaTroy. I mean, those guys have done a great job of, no matter what your amount of service time, no matter what how much money you're making, they make you feel like you're one of the guys. And I think, you know, with everybody feeling like they're one of the guys, it brings everybody closer together.
Ryan, listen, we're going to let you run. We really appreciate you doing this in a game day. Keep it going, man.
Thanks, Ryan.
Thank you.
Good luck.
All right, fellas. Thanks.
It's Ryan Goins.
Just one of the guys. Oh, yeah. That's awesome. That's,
you know, it is remarkable, though, how I think every athlete needs to kind of develop at some point a sense of what they are. I mean, it's great to say I want to be the best I can be and all that.
I'm sure
everybody wants to be the best they can be. But at some point you kind of realize that, hey, this is kind of my role in the game, and I can have a pretty good, you know, I can have a pretty good career. And I'll say one thing for Ryan Goins. That glove, he's going to have a job until he decides to pack
and
it
on
in.
Good teams too, because they always need good defenders.
But you made a great point about giving a more competitive left-handed at bat.
Yeah.
Because that is huge. That's it at least gives John Gibbons pause to think now late in games. Whereas before, look, there's no reason. You're not going to play defense for Ryan Goins.
Right.
It's not going to happen.
No.
So now, if Ryan Goins can continue to contribute offensively, at least help turn the lineup over, draw the odd base and balls, just make enough contact, give a battling at bat against a left-handed pitcher, that makes it easy for John Gibbons.
Well, it does, and you have to remember who he's doing it against. He's doing it against guys that are coming out of pens, either throwing submarine, they have a weird arm angle, they're throwing super hard, they have a super one good pitch, and they're left-handed.
He's a guy, if you have a lefty specialist in your bullpen and it's the postseason, he's the guy you might earmark as you're sitting there looking. Ryan Goins is coming up. We can throw a lefty.
Well, now John Gibbons is going to think about it.
Yeah.
Other than just go, hey, let's get a righty up loose. Mm-hmm. You're hitting for Ryan Goins. Now John Gibbons is going, uh-oh, he does pretty good and gives that competitive at bat. You know, we may want to think about maybe skipping him, letting him go up and hit, and maybe pinch hitting for somebody else. That's, you know, that's, again, it gets back to knowing your role and doing the best you can with what you got. It's, again, it's impressive. It's very, if you're a fan of baseball, it's a lot of fun to watch a team this good that just goes out and does what they can do, doesn't overdo things. And, you know, if I'm a good defender, I'm going to do that. If I bunt guys over, I'm going to do that. It's impressive.
The other thing, and you pointed this out with Ryan Goins, the way he's holding the bat now, it allows him to turn on a pitch.
Well, that's
and he's got a little bit of pull power there. That, I mean, most guys do have pull power.
That's a lefty. He's got shorter arms.
Yeah.
You know, he wants the ball closer to him, and it's easier to drop the bat head on the ball that way. And it's, you know, there's not a lot to it. There's not a lot of thought process to it. Your swing has to be a little bit better on that ball away to square it up and go to left center. So again, it's, you know, they make in-season adjustments, which is not the easiest thing to do. It's very hard because, again, it gets back to results matter. And when they matter, it's very hard to say, everything I did in the offseason, let's sort of back off that a little bit and do something else. It's very hard because it's going to take that something else a little bit of time to catch up with everything else, and that means you don't do as well. And it's very hard to persuade a younger guy to do those things. And they all balled in. It's impressive, man.
When he was hitting coach of the Montreal Expos, Tommy Harper always used to talk about, he said, don't judge me by how well the best players are doing. Because we'd always have this debate. What is it? And I've always said this. A hitting coach isn't like the offensive coordinator in football. But Tommy used to say that, you know, I don't judge myself by how well Moises Alou or Larry Walker are hitting. Mm-hmm. I judge myself by how well the 23rd, 24th, 25th guy in the roster are hitting.
Yeah.
That's where I'm doing my job is if I'm taking one of those guys and working with them, giving them something that can help them contribute. And, you know, you look at this lineup again, a guy like Ryan Goins. Yeah, it's great that Edwin's doing what he's doing and Jose Bautista's doing what he's doing. But I bet if you talked to Brooke Jacoby and Eric Goins and said, what are you really proud of? They'd probably point to a guy like Ryan Goins and say, Kevin Pillar,
yeah,
another guy. You know, we've got these guys to the point where they can do more than give competitive, at bats. And that's Kevin Pillar has become, you know, there's still some work to do offensively for him, but he's become such a good hitter. Last night he swung and missed at that outside pitch, and I'm going, man, I haven't seen that for a while. Last year we used to see that all the time.
Right.
So when you're noticing things, negative things, because they haven't happened a lot year, that says that guys are doing their job. So for Ryan Goins and Kevin Barker, I'm Jeff Blair. Thanks for joining us on Baseball Central and the Sportsnet Radio and Television Network. We'll be back tomorrow. Don't forget Jays baseball tonight, 7 o'clock, first pitch. Game 2 of a 3-game series against the Cleveland Indians. right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Sportsnet East Ontario, West and Pacific. Campbell and Zahn will get you started with a pregame show. Have a great day, everybody.